The following is a public lecture at Vedic Culture Center, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 3, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Varakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, I have been asked to speak tonight about harmony in the family. I'm very, very happy that I've been asked to speak about this topic. Because the greatest problem of the world today is disharmony in the family. It is a problem that is going on everywhere. In every country throughout the entire world, there is disharmony in the family. And it is causing great distress. So, how can we have harmony in the family? This is what I have come to explain to you all. We have to understand what is the underlying principle of harmony. Within the word harmony, but how do you say it in Lithuanian?
Harmonia.
Very good. Within the word harmony, there are, in English, there are three syllables: har, ma, harmon, e. So the word man is a word for the mind. And it is surrounded by two syllables, hari. So the very word harmony tells us how to have harmony. If we fix the mind on hari or God, har, man, e. Hari. Hari, man. You see? When the mind is fixed on God, then there is harmony immediately. So what does this mean practically? This means in the family life, in the neighborhood life, in the village life, in the city life, in the national life, and in the international life, on all levels, we can have harmony. You may argue, but this is supposed to be about harmony within the family. But do you know what is family? Family members means we have the same father, you see. They were brothers and sisters. Is it? So isn't God the father of all living beings? So doesn't that mean that we're all one big family on the whole planet? So when we speak of harmony in the family, we have to talk about the family on all levels, you see. Because the whole planet is a family, actually. In other words, if you want to have harmony with your own house, and your house is in a state of disharmony with the rest of the family, I mean to say the worldwide family. If you try to have harmony in your own house, but at the same time you're in a state of disharmony with the rest of the family of all living beings, you will not find true harmony in your own house. So the key is, if you can live in a state of harmony with all living beings, then you will have harmony in your own house automatically.
Toks yra paslaptis arba raktas, kad jeigu sugebėsite gyventi kaip harmonijoje su visais pasaulio žmonėm kaip šeima, tada ir automatiškai jūsų pačių šeimoje bus harmonija.
But then you can rightfully argue, but to have harmony with all living beings, that's not practical. I mean, what about Osama bin Laden?
Bet galite sakyti, kad argi tai praktiškai, manoma harmoniškai sutarti harmoningai gyventi su visais pasaulio žmonėm.
How can I have harmony with Osama bin Laden?
Kaip galima su Osama bin Ladenu gyventi harmoniškai?
So what does it really mean to have a state of harmony with all living beings? It's not practical if you think of it like that, you see. Just like if there's a huge tree and you're told to water every leaf on the tree individually, that would be a difficult chore. But actually, all you have to do is water the root of that tree. And then immediately all the leaves and branches will be nourished. So all you have to do is find the root of the universal tree. As soon as you water the root of that universal tree, then you will be in a state of perfect harmony with the source of all existence and with all living entities. One-stop shopping. You won't have to try to develop harmony individually with everyone. As soon as you make your harmony with the Supreme Person, with God, then immediately you have perfect harmony with your wife. You have perfect harmony with your husband, with your children, with your parents, with your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, and even your dog. You see, you'll have perfect harmony with all living beings if you can dovetail your consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. That Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. He is known by different names in different languages. In Sanskrit, he is called Krishna. In Lithuanian, he is called... In English, he is called God. You see? Different name. So, if you can develop whatever name you may call him, that is all right, according to your language. But if you can develop a harmonious relationship with that Supreme Person, then because that Supreme Person is in the heart of all living beings, you can easily establish a harmonious relationship with all living beings. If everyone can move forward, there's more people coming in, we need to make space. Yeah, those that first row, you move your chairs forward. And then we can put another row there in the back as they come in. And the people on the floor can come closer. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we want to accommodate the whole world if they come. We have more room up here too. If it gets too crowded, there's tons of space in here. Anybody who wants a good seat, there's a chair over here. You can sit right here. It's a good space right here. Got tons of space up here for a front row seat, balcony seat. So, this is the process of how you can have harmony with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, or your brothers and sisters. You simply make a harmonious relationship with God. That's all, the Supreme Person. You can call him Krishna. You can call him Christ, Buddha, Allah. Any name, according to your language, your religion, you can call him by that particular name. Some people object and we call him Krishna, you see. They say, how dare you utter that word? This is Lithuania. Do you think Sanskrit, your Sanskrit language is superior to Lithuanian? Why are you speaking a Sanskrit name for God when you're in Lithuania, you see? But do you think God belongs to Lithuania? He carries a Lithuanian passport? You see? Actually, his kingdom is far, far beyond this world. And according to the revealed scriptures, actually, we know the language that's spoken in the kingdom of God. The actual language spoken in the kingdom of God is Sanskrit. Now, here's an example. I have a disciple here. His name is Raymondas. Now, in English, he would be called Raymond. Now, I am an English-speaking person from America, you see. Now, I could think, well, this name Raymondas, it sounds very foreign to me. I will call him Raymond instead of Raymondas because I'm not Lithuanian, you see. And he would tolerate that, all right. He's speaking in English, so it's all right. I can answer Raymond, you see. But if I call him Raymondas, you see, isn't that more polite? Won't that make him feel something special if I call him in his own language, you see? So this is why we like to say the name Krishna for the Supreme Person. Because even though God is multilingual, He understands every language on the face of the planet. You can speak to Him in Russian, German, French, Latvian, Lithuanian, Estonian, Finnish, Dutch, Norwegian, you know, Swahili. You can speak to Him in any tongue and He'll understand because he's the supreme multilingualist. But still, if you can call him the name that they call him at home, you see, The way they pronounce it in his home village. That's very polite, you see. And it gives a special feeling. That's not there. That's why we say Krishna. Although Krishna will accept any name for the Supreme. But we like to call him Krishna because that's his native tongue. Just like I say Raimundas, that's his native tongue, you see, Lithuanian. So in the same way I say Krishna, because that's his native tongue, the Sanskrit language. So the process of connecting with the Supreme Person is not a business deal. It's a loving relationship. So if you can call it, therefore we like to say Krishna because it's a very loving thing to do, to call the person by his, the way they call him at home, you see. So this is the real point. Make a loving relationship with the Supreme Person. And then, because that Supreme Person is within the heart of all living beings. Of course, that doesn't mean he is all living beings. He is seated beside us within our hearts. It's not that we are God. Each and every one of us is part of God. And God is seated within our heart to assist us in our life, you see. Whatever you want, He will help you. If you want to get a college degree, He'll help you to do that. If you want to become a saintly devotee of the Lord, He will help you to do that. Even if you want to rob a bank, He'll help you do that. But it'll also help the police to catch you and put you in jail too. The Lord seats in the heart to help the living entity achieve His desires. He facilitates the good desires and the bad desires both. That's why we need to have a teacher, a spiritual master. Because He only facilitates us in the good things. And in the scriptures also, that Supreme Person Krishna, He speaks. And His great devotees speak. I recommend that you all read these books. We have wonderful books here. They'll be available at the end of the lecture. You can even get them autographed. At the end, you can come and check out our books. We have a nice selection. You can take one home and have the most wonderful treasure of your whole life sitting in your own home. So the point is, we need to develop a loving relationship with that Supreme Person. And by doing that, then He will facilitate that all of our good desires can be achieved. And we will forget all of our not good desires. So I can ask now if any of you have some questions. Does everybody understand how to have harmony in the family? Yeah. Go ahead.
Suvokia kaip pasiekti harmoniją šeimoje?
Pavyzdžiui, kaip atėjau Krišna sąmonė, susitvarkė santykį šeimoje. Toks buvo pirmas žingsnis. Antras žingsnis, man rodas, kad pagerėjo santykį su giminaičiais. O koks yra trečias? Kaip čia, kaip įsivaizduoti, kas toliau, kaip čia gali būti?
when I came to Krishna consciousness, the first thing that happened was that my relationship with family members became better. And then later, the relationship with other relatives became better. So what is going to be next?
The whole world.
This is pasauli.
You can help the whole world become a better place by becoming Krishna conscious. Yeah.
Tapdama Krishna sąmoninga padės visam pasauliui pagerėti.
Who would like for the world peace in the world? No more terrorism, no more crimes. You just become Krishna conscious and you will exert a powerful influence to make the whole world a better place. Any other questions? What about some doubts? Anybody have any doubts? Let's hear the doubts.
Kaip apie abejonės, ar kas nors turi kokių abejonių ar dviejonių?
Any skeptics? You're welcome.
Skeptikų yra.
Any skeptic philosophers? Yes, we're welcome.
Mokytas labai mėgsta atsakinėti skeptikus klausimus.
We are not blind followers, you see.
Mes nesam iš tikrųjų visiškai
abejonių. Yes.
Aš ten visai truputį tą temą, bet vis tiek, sakysim, sakoma, kad dvasinį pasaulį gali pažinti ne per protą ir ne per žodžius, per tik atsivėrus dvasiniam regėjimui arba per dvasinį kūną. O vis tik tai čia mes labai daug filosofuojam ir šnekam. Ar tai neprieštarauja?
It is said that one can understand the spiritual world on not by material mind or senses, that he can understand it only through the spiritual body. But at the same time we are talking so many philosophy, so much philosophy, that it doesn't, is it not contradiction?
Yes. This is an argument that I myself used on the devotees before I joined the movement.
Taip, tai argumentas, kurį aš pats naudojau prieš atsidavusius, prieš tai, kol prisijungiau prie judėjimo.
I thought I had I was feeling pretty puffed up actually, when I did this, but of course, now I've defeated my own argument. I know how to defeat it, but the devotees couldn't defeat my argument at the time. Because the Hare Krishnas always say our senses are imperfect. And they also say we accept that Krishna is God. So I told the devotee, I met him on the campus in California, said, here is a, I said, this is your a defect in your Krishna conscious philosophy. And that you say that your senses are imperfect. But yet with those very same imperfect senses, you're accepting that Krishna is God. So actually you cannot accept that Krishna is God because your senses are imperfect. And the devotee went, he didn't know what to say. So you may wonder, well, then why are you Hare Krishna then? Did they brainwash you or what happened? They hypnotize you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Put it, wrap you up in a sheet and cut your hair out. What happened, Mr. philosophical gunslinger? What happened to you? You defeated the Hare Krishnas and now you're one of them. Well, the answer is this. Through the process of bhakti yoga, your imperfect senses, your imperfect mind, your imperfect intelligence, through the process of bhakti yoga, they become perfect. By hearing the words of the transcendental wisdom from the spiritual master's mouth, your spiritual intelligence, your pure spiritual intelligence becomes activated. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra and by tasting prasadam, your spiritual intelligence becomes activated.
jūsų dvasinis intelektas įsijungia.
So it's a fact, with imperfect senses, you cannot realize God.
That's
a fact. But through this process, your senses become perfect, and with perfect senses, you realize God. So that is the answer. That's why I'm a Hare Krishna. By the mercy of my spiritual master, my senses became perfect. And with perfect senses, I realize the perfect Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next question. Yes, Mr. Skeptic Philosopher, yes, come on.
During the last 50 years, the population grew like 4 billion people.
All right.
More. So if it is going to happen next year, so maybe everyone should become a monk instead of family man.
Actually, there's no harm if everyone has children. Today, I have just traveled from Kaliningrad Oblast. Yes, I was just in Oblast, Russia, in Kaliningrad, Oblast, and I've come from Oblast to Kanes today. There's so much land sitting there. You see. We think there is overpopulation because we are crowded in these cities, very tight like rats. But actually there is huge land everywhere. If we go back to self-sufficient farming, you see, we all have our own piece of land, we can have easily 10 times the world population with no problem. Give every family 1 acre of land. Let them grow their own food. Then there's no problem with overpopulation. Next question. All right. Go ahead.
Reiškia, kad yra faktiškai visas mūsų gyvenimas yra nulemtas mūsų praeities blogų arba gerų darbų. Ir kažkaip truputėlį, kaip čia aš nežinau, ar mokytojas minėjo, ar kitas minėjo, kad mes jau sėdim lipę į lėktuvą ir visa mūsų laisvė tik pereiti nuo vienos vietos, nuo tualeto iki piloto kabinos. O visą šitą lėktuvą mes jau įsėdom gimdami dėl savo praeities visų veiksmų. Ir tik tai šiek tiek pakeisti mūsų tą gyvenimą gali dvasinės praktikos ar mokytojo malonė. Ir sakysim, lygiai greičiai egzistuoja dabar pilna literatūros apie, aš tą pavadinčiau, praktinę magiją. Kad praktinės magijos priemonėm gali realizuoti gyvenimą, reiškia, šį gyvenimą, kokį tu tik nori. Tai yra dvi labai prieštaringos, sakyčiau, teorijos. Ką galėtų mokytojas pakomentuoti?
I wanted to ask a question about karma. I've heard that our last previous activities create this lifetime, and that we practically cannot change anything, very little thing. But at the same time, there are practices, some magical practices, by practicing which you can immediately change all your life in whatever way you want, materially. So is it not a contradiction?
But you have to have the karma to be able to do the magic. You don't have the karma, you can't do it. So it remains karmic.
kas karmiška.
However,
bet
there is one thing that is not karmic.
Yra vienas dalykas, kuris nėra karmiškas.
And that is a type of activity known as akarma.
Yeah, tai yra ta veikla, vadinama akarma.
Which means it is beyond the laws of karma. If you are blessed by the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master who is situated and perfectly situated in akarma, he can plant the seed of bhakti within your heart. And you will develop, you will become perfect, also perfect in akarma. Which will completely transform your fate. And that is by good fortune, it is not by past karma. Brahmande kon Brahmande Brahmate Kunya Bhagavan Brahmande Brahmate Kunya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering through countless incarnations in the repetitions of birth and death within this material existence, strictly within the laws of karma, one living entity who is very, very, very fortunate by coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master is released from the karma chakra by taking to devotional service. So I have been so fortunate that I met such a teacher, you see. And now he has ordered me to make you fortunate. It's up to you whether you will take it or not. It's not depend on your karma. It's simply a matter of whether you want to take or whether you do not want to take advantage of this good fortune that I am presenting to you now. Any other questions?
You have mentioned that your senses now became perfect, and you said that you now perfectly understand God. So I wanted to understand, do you understand God by your senses or by some other means?
All of the above.
Viskas kartu.
Actually, it is all by the mercy of my spiritual master. But the spiritual master, he engaged my senses in the service of Krishna and purified them. It's all by his mercy. I cannot take any separate credit that by my own power I have done. No, I cannot. It's simply by the mercy of my beloved Guru, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami
Prabhupada.
And all the secrets of what I have learned, it's all in these books. If you read the books, you'll have access to the same knowledge that brought me to this point.
How do you understand that you have achieved the perfection? Maybe it's not yet perfection, maybe there is something else?
Yes, one can understand one's perfect vision by studying the revealed scriptures. Just like your vision was defective.
Pavyzdžiui, jeigu jūsų matymas yra trūkumais,
But now it has become perfect.
Bet dabar tapo tobulas.
Because you went to an eye doctor and got some corrective lenses.
Nes nuėjote pas akių daktarą ir jums davė atitinkamus akinius.
Before you could not see very well, but now with glasses you can again see very nicely.
Prieš tai negalėjote matyti, bet kai gavote akinius, dabar galite labai gerai matyti.
So the spiritual master, he also gives corrective lens. He teaches the disciple how to see through the eyes of the Vedic wisdom. It is given standard books, revealed scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are standard books of spiritual wisdom accepted by all great saintly teachers. So, just as you are wearing glasses, I am also wearing glasses. These are my glasses. I see through the eyes of the scripture. Therefore, my vision is perfect. Because these scriptures are perfect. You understand?
Yes, I understand, but I also think that there should be not only understanding of scripture externally, but there should be some internal understanding.
Yes, one's own perception reconfirms what you're reading in the scriptures, yes.
Ir žinoma, pačio žmogaus patyrimas ir, reiškia, patvirtina tai, ką jis skaito šventraščiuose.
Every day when I look at the world, it reconfirms everything I'm seeing here.
Kiekvieną dieną matydamas pasaulį, matau patvirtinama viso to, kas rašoma šventraščiuose.
My vision of the world has become completely spiritual life.
Ir mano viso pasaulio matymas tapo sudvasintas.
Because I see everything in relationship with
Krishna.
I also see you in relationship with
Krishna.
I see you as Krishna's parts and parcel. I see you as a person who is actually the eternal servant of Krishna. If you have forgotten them. And Krishna is telling me from within my heart. At this very minute. That I should reconnect you with him. So that's what I'm trying to do. I hope that by his mercy I can be successful.
I think that one has to put his own endeavor and also get mercy of the spirit.
Yes, I am endeavoring, yes. Every day I chant my bead 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Japa. Every day I rise early, no later than 4 a.m. and take my bath and chant Hare Krishna on my prayer beads. 1,728 repetitions every day. I work very hard for my spiritual realizations. For 37 years I've been working hard, day and night. Not that I just sit around and watch television and drink beer.
You feel how this ritual helps you to purify yourself.
Yes, it is a cleansing of the consciousness. It's not actually a ritual. I am directly associating with God every day when I chant his names. It's like when I'm speaking with you right now. This is not a ritual. This is a personal relationship. So I every day directly commune with God by chanting his names. It's not a ritual. It's a meeting. I have a personal meeting with God every day. direct personal meeting with God every day.
Asmeniškas tiesioginis susitikimas su Dievu.
Not a ritual, it's a meeting with God.
Tai nėra ritualas, tai yra susitikimas asmeniškas su Dievu.
Yeah.
O nekartojant vardo tiesiog tyloje ramybėje. Tai gali? Tai yra jūsų patirtyje? Ir kalbėti asmeniškai su Dievu, bendrauti tyloje ramybėje, sakysim, nekartojant vardo, ne atliekant, nu, aš taip pavadinau nuo ritualų, gal kitaip galim pavadinti. Ar tiesiog tai yra tokios patirties tokios jo.
Is it possible to communicate with God only by chanting his name or doing something, or is it possible in silence also?
I will give you an answer here. Okay, now the answer will start right now.
Ir atsakymas prasideda dabar.
Okay, the answer just stopped.
No, atsakymas baigė.
How effective is that in communicating?
Kuo efektyvus bendravimas?
Aš turėčiau jūsų paklausti.
I should ask you.
Gal jūs į mane koncentravotės, nei ten kur reikia.
If you want to communicate with someone, you speak to them. You
bendrauti su kažkom, tai jūs turite kalbėti su
jais. It's like, let's say, you have a girlfriend or a wife.
Ar pavyzdžiui, turite jūs merginą ar žmoną?
Girlfriend or wife? Yeah. When you make communicate with her, you just pick up, you dial the phone, you pick it up, you just hold the phone silently, you just say something to her.
Kaip, pavyzdžiui, kalbate su telefonu, ar jūs pakėlės tiesiog tylite, ar visgi kažką
pasakote? Or do you speak something?
Ar kažką pasakote?
I mean, this is common sense.
Tai yra, sako, paprastas kasdienis supratimas.
You want to communicate with somebody, you share, you open your heart, you express, you reveal your heart to them through verbal communication. It's much more powerful than silent meditation. Just imagine I wanted to ask some girl to marry me, right? And I go to her house and I ring the doorbell. And she answers the door and she says, yes, what do you want? And I just stand there silently. How effective will I be in winning her hand, you see? If I want the girl to marry me, I say, my dear, beautiful girl, will you please marry me, you see? So if you want to communicate with God, then you pray to Him. When we chant Hare Krishna, we are praying, my dear Lord, please engage me in your pure devotional service. So this is a million times more effective than silent meditation.
Yeah.
Is it possible to communicate with God not by chanting the names but by remembering his pastimes or personality something?
Yes. But the basis is chanting. Calling out to the Lord. That's the basis. That's the foundation. There are 9 different types of ways of connecting with God. But it's all based on hearing and chanting. It's all based on hearing and chanting. So if you want to become very expert in remembering the Lord, then you must base that remembrance on a solid daily hearing and chanting.
Išmokti atsiminti Dievą, tai jūs turite labai išmokti gerai klausytis ir
otherwise your remembrance will not be perfect.
Kitaip jūsų prisiminimas nebus tobulas.
Therefore I made you vow to chant 16 rounds a day before you became my disciple.
Ir dėl to prieš tampant mano mokiniu jūs 16 ratų reiškia pažadėjot kartu.
Because I knew that simply try to remember Krishna you won't be able to do that.
Nes aš žinau, kad jeigu vien tik bandysit prisiminti Krishna,
but if you chant every day and you engage in service, then you can always remember the Lord.
kad jeigu kartosite ir kasdien nusimsite tarnystę, visą laiką prisiminsite viešpatį.
Questions, Mara?
Daugiau klausimų?
Yeah. What is she saying?
Is it not the fact that by one time uttering the name of Krishna, it includes all the pastimes even more than we could remember in many...
Yes, that's a fact.
Ir klausimas buvo, ar...
The name of Krishna is very, very powerful.
Ar tai yra faktas, kad vieną kartą ištariant šventą vardą, Krishna's ten visi...
But the name of... But then Krishna's name, all of his pastimes are present, that's a fact.
Ir taip mokytas sako, tai teisybė, visi viešpatės žaidimai yra jo varde.
That's why those who absorb themselves deeply in the name, they automatically start to remember the Krishna in so many ways throughout the day. Even in their dreams, they remember Krishna. Yeah.
Nu, tu paimk ir papasakok Dievui savo planus. Tai, nu, aš nelabai suprantu to ryšio, kam būtina su Dievu bendrauti garsiai ir neužtenka to, kas sukasi čia. Nes šiaip ar taip ta, nu, ta prasme, ta kalba, tai Dievui turėtų būti girdima ir be žodžių.
I do not understand this one point that why... You emphasize this loud chanting. Is it not enough to say something for God in a mind, or must it be loudly?
Actually, we also have what's known as soft chanting. Just like we chant on our individually on our beads. It's done very softly. It is called japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that is also done by Hare Krishna devotees. They do that every day for about, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours every day on their beats. Now some people say, why not just make it completely silent with no chanting at all?
Kai kurie žmonės sako, kodėl nepadaryti visiškai tylios meditacijos, be visiškai kartojimo.
If you wanted to sit down for 2 hours every day and have your mind completely fixed and not going anywhere, thinking about anything else, it's very difficult.
Jeigu pabandysite kasdien po 2 valandas atsisėsti ir sukoncentruoti protą taip, kad jis niekur nesiblaškytų.
The mind becomes like a naughty little child after a few minutes. He wants to run here and there. But by uttering a powerful sacred mantra like Hare Krishna or Om, it anchors the mind, see? It helps the mind to hold still. So it's much better than just complete silence. Because it's the same sound vibration over and over again, it has a very powerful effect. So we recommend that you try chanting Hare Krishna. This is called the ultimate silence. Because if you just try to be silent, your mind will still have so much static. Your mind will remain loud, you see. But by murmuring softly Hare Krishna on your lips, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, your mind will become completely silent. That slight sound on the lips will make your mind completely silent. But if you keep your lips silent, your mind will remain loud. Those who want to make their mind silent, they meditate. I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank.
Ir tie, kurie nori, kad jų protas visiškai nustotų galvojęs, be jokių kitų pagalbų, tai jie visą laiką medituoja į tai, kad aš noriu, kad mano protas nurimtų, noriu, kad mano...
That is very loud thinking.
Tai yra labai toks garsus mąstymas.
But those who utter Hare Krishna, 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 they don't have to think, I have to make, my mind automatically becomes free of all material thoughts. Automatically.
Hare Krishna, tai jų protas automatiškai išsivalo nuo bet kokių materialių minčių ir jam nereikia apie tai negalvoti, kaip suvaldyti protą.
So, does that answer your question?
Right.
Okay. Another one, okay.
You said that the Lord or God is one, but how could you explain that there are so many religions and so many rituals if there is only one God? How it became so?
This is man's foolishness. Religion is one. But man, it's actually politics, to be honest. Power politics was the motive. They divided out this religion, that religion, this religion. This is man-made thing. There's actually one religion, that's to become a pure lover of God. That's it. All the great teachers were teaching the same exact religion. But the followers who were not pure, they politicized what the founder had taught. And made a sect. The founders did not create sects. But they taught pure devotion. Any other question? Yes, the gentleman back there.
Living one's life with the Lord or God, and also living a family life with a wife, how could you compare this virtues, which is a higher virtue?
If you live with your wife and there is no God consciousness,
jeigu gyvenate su žmona, bet šeimoje nėra Dievo sąmonės,
then we see the bird, he also builds a nest for the sheep, the male bird builds a nest for the she bird.
Ir matome, kaip paukščiai, pavyzdžiui,
and he goes out and gathers worms and brings them back to the nest. So if you simply serve your wife with no love of God, then you were no better than a bird. Of course, nowadays, many people aren't even as good as a bird, so... If you can take good care of your wife, then you're considered a very virtuous and successful man in the human society. That's a fact. But that means you have not advanced beyond the birds. It is said that man is a rational animal. Therefore, God has given you a rationality to take you to a higher level than being just a bird. And that is to revive your lost loving relationship with the Supreme Person.
O tai pasireiškia taip, kad būtent atgaivinti savo prarastus meilės ryšius su Dievu.
So we advise you to maintain that virtuous relationship with your wife. That is very good. You maintain that relationship.
Todėl mes patariame, kad jūs išlaikykite tos meilės santykius su žmone, tai ta vertybė, tai yra gerai.
But now you add God to the formula, you see.
Bet šalia to dar ir pridėkite ir Dievą.
Make your household a God-conscious household.
Padarykit savo šeimos gyvenimą arba šeimyną yra tai.
Otherwise, your service to your wife, it will end when her body ends, you see.
Nes kitu atveju jūsų tarnystė ir meilė žmonai pasibaigs, kai kūnas pasibaigs šitas.
It will only be a temporary love between you and your wife, you see.
Tai bus teliks tik tai tokia laikinos meilės, kaip sako, istorija tarp jūsų ir žmonų.
But if you bring God into your family,
kad jeigu jūs atvesite Dievą į savo šeimą,
then you're doing eternal service for your wife.
Tada jūs padarysite amžiną tarnystę ir naudą savo žmonai.
And your love with your wife, it will be eternal relationship.
Ir jūsų meilės santykiai su žmona bus taip pat su amžini.
Why have it only temporary, like an animal or a bird?
Kam turėti laikinus meilės ryšius su žmona, kaip gyvūnai ar paukščiai?
A human being is meant to make his home life spiritual home life.
Žmogus yra skirtas tam, kad padarytų savo šeiminį gyvenimą dvasiniu.
And it's actually much easier to have a good relationship with your wife when you put God in the center.
Ir iš kitos pusės yra daug lengviau turėti gerus santykius su žmona, kai Dievas yra visako centre.
It's practical.
Tai yra praktiška.
Because as long as it's my ego and her ego, there's gonna be conflict sometimes, you see.
Nes iki tol, kol yra mano egoizmas ir jos egoizmas, visą laiką bus konfliktai.
But if you and your wife agree, let's live this marriage as a loving offering to the Supreme Person, to God.
Bet jeigu jūs su žmona sutarėt, kad geriau gyvenkime savo gyvenimą kaip meilės pasiūlymą Dievui.
Then you surrender your false ego to God, she surrenders her false ego to God, and there's no more ego conflict.
Ir jinai atiduoda savo netikrą egoizmą Dievui, jūs savo, ir tada nebelieka jokių konfliktų šeimoje.
So it's just a very practical thing for a happy home life to make God the center.
Ir iš tikrųjų yra labai praktinis dalykas, kad Dievą pastatyti centre savo šeimos gyvenime.
In America there's a popular saying.
Amerikoje yra toks populiarus posakis.
The family that prays together stays together.
Kad šeima, kuri meldžiasi kartu ir išlieka kartu.
So you make your home life God conscious home life.
Todėl savo šeimininį gyvenimą ir padarykite kartu su Dievu.
That will be the perfection of your home life.
Ir tai bus jūsų tobulas šeimininis gyvenimas.
Is that all right?
Gerai. How do you esteem those who live without family, like a monks only with God?
That's very nice.
Irgi labai gerai.
That's very nice. If one can do that, it's very nice.
Jeigu žmogus tai sugeba padaryti, yra labai gerai.
They are serving the God, and they are taking every human being as their family member, you see.
Nes jie priima kiekvieną žmogų kaip savo šeimos narį.
They are seeing all living beings as their family members.
Mato kiekvieną gyvą būtybę kaip savo šeimos narį.
Just like Saint Francis Assisi, he saw that the birds and the beasts, they are his brothers and sisters.
Which one? Who?
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Vienas toks šventasis. Šventas Pranciškus, jisai matė, kad kiekviena gyva būtybė yra šeimos narys.
He saw the animals and birds as his brothers and sisters.
Matė ir gyvūnus ir paukščius kaip savo brolius.
And he became strict vegetarian, you see.
Jisai buvo griežtas vegetaras.
No eating of animal flesh.
Ir nevalgė,
or chicken, or, you know, fish.
Nei žuvų,
yeah.
Nieko.
Yeah. Any other question?
Yeah.
Ta istorija buvo mokytojų, kurie skelbė meilę Dievui, turėjo savo mokinių pasiekėjų, bet jie struktūrų, mokymo struktūrų visų nesukūrė. Reiškia, kol buvo mokytojas, buvo jo mokiniai, buvo mokymas.
You can stand up and stand up.
Sakysim, kažkokios religijos sukūrė struktūras. Galima imti katalikų bažnyčią, ten, sakysim, iskoną. Reiškia, ir ar būtent tas sukūrimas struktūros nėra ir tas sektos požymis, nes tada tu turi tarnauti ne tik tai Dievui, bet ir kartu struktūrai.
In history, there were many spiritual masters who taught about loving God, But they did not create structures of teachings like universities or, well, structures to teach. But in Christianity or in ISKCON, we see that such structures are created, where one has not to only serve God, but also to serve the structure, the organization. So is it not sectarian or...
No.
Yeah.
No, the structure is already there. The Vedic wisdom is given by God. We have not made any structure. Krishna is already given. Vedaśca carvāryaham eva vejo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. By all of the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas.
Sako, kad aš esu visos Vedantos sudarytojas ir žinovas, ir būtent visos nori sužinoti ar mane.
So, the structure is given by God.
Ir nurodymą duoda Dievas.
We have not made any structure.
Mes iš tikrųjų struktūros nekuriam.
We are simply serving the structure given by God. That's all.
Mes paprasčiausiai tik vykdom tą nurodymą, kurį duoda Dievas.
Simple then.
Yra paprastas dalykas.
Therefore, we are not a sectarian religion.
Ir iš tikrųjų dėl to nesam sektantiškai. But all religion says that they are not concocting their structures, organizations that the God is giving.
So let's see who's following the scriptures. That's yes, we don't. Religion is one again. There's no such thing as different religions. Religion comes from the Latin word religare. It means to reconnect. We don't say that only Hare Krishna people are religious. We say that anybody who's developed pure love for God, they're religious. That is our philosophy. We are teaching the science of how to develop pure love for God. If you can do it as a Christian, then we applaud you. If you can do it as a Muslim, just don't blow us up, that's all we have. And we applaud you. If you can do it any way you want, we have no objection, as long as you develop pure love of God. That is our philosophy. So do not think we're introducing a new sect. We are teaching the science of pure bhakti, which is equally applicable to Hindus, Christians, Muslims, Jains, Jews, Sikhs, and... what was the other one? Parsis, yes.
Mes mokom šitą pažinimo mokslą, kuris yra vienodai pritaikomas tiek krikščionim, tiek hinduistam, musulmonam ir visiem, bet kokiem.
We are teaching the science of God, which is universal for all religions.
Mokom tokį mokslą apie Dievą, kuris universalus visom religijom.
We are not introducing a new religion.
Mes nepristatom naujos kažkokios religijos.
There's already enough religions here in Lithuania. We don't need a new one.
Užtenka jau ir taip religijų čia Lietuvoje, nereikia dar vieno.
We are teaching the pure essence of what is religion in its original pure form. Everyone can follow. Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Jains, Buddhists, Muslims, Christians, everyone can follow. In fact, any true saint in any of these traditions, they have followed these principles already. We are not introducing a new religion. Do not think them. We are teaching the original principles of religion before man divided it into this religion and that religion.
Girdėjau du aspektus Krišnos vardo kartojimo. Vienas nuraminti protą, o kitas bendrauti su Dievu. Tai mano klausimas būtų toks, ar jis jaučia tą jungtį su Dievu, kada jis nekartoja Krišnos vardo? Na, valgant, vaikščiant, laistant gėlės.
when I have heard that when chanting the holy name, there are two things for why one does it. So the first is to make the mind peaceful, and the second is to reconnect with God. So I wanted to ask, do you also feel connection with God while you are eating or walking, or you only feel
yes,
chanting?
All the time, 24 hours a day.
Taip, iš tikrųjų visada, 24 valandas per parą jaučiu tą ryšį su Dievu.
But chanting is the time I fine-tune my consciousness.
Bet kartojimas yra tas laikas, kur aš sureguliuoju savo sąmonę tinkamai.
I am tuning my consciousness 24 hours a day by doing devotional service.
Ir atlikdamas visą kitą atsidavimo tarnystę, aš savo sąmonę išlaikau ryšį su Dievu.
But when I chant, then I'm doing the fine-tuning on my consciousness.
Bet kai aš kartoju, aš kaip sako, nureguliuoju stotį, jeigu taip kabutėse, kad galėčiau visą dieną būti Krišnos sąmonė.
Tai kad jau taip nureguliuota. Dar, jeigu jau jungtis yra, kas aš nesupratau, jeigu jau įsijungti ją, tai kur dar turi ką reguliuoti?
But if one is already connected, so why he has to chant every day and to...
Oh, you do not know what is love.
Jūs nežinot, kas yra meilė.
You do not know what is love.
Nežinot, kas yra meilė.
Love is ever increasing. It never becomes boring or dull. It becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You become connected. You become more connected. And more connected. And more connected for all of eternity. That connection becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. It's like a millionaire. He's not a rich man is not satisfied to be a millionaire. He has to be a billionaire. And he's not satisfied with 1 billion, he wants 2 billion. And he'd be very happy to be the first trillionaire in the history of the world.
Is it not greed? Greed.
Yes. You've chosen the perfect word. The devotee is greedy for Krishna. He wants more Krishna, more Krishna, more Krishna, more Krishna. He can never get enough Krishna. He's like a drug addict. And Krishna is the drug. He wants ever-increasing doses.
And is there any end?
Any what?
End.
No. In the mature world, everything has an end. You can gorge yourself at a feast, but it's after a certain point you'll vomit. There's a limit to how much your stomach can hold, you see. But your heart has unlimited capacity. No matter how much you love Krishna, you can increase it even more and more and more for all of eternity. Your heart has unlimited capacity to love Krishna. All right. In the back.
Ta šeima, didelė šeima arba visuomenės, tai čia turime omeny tik tai dvasinė prasme, ar tai turime kartu galima sakyti ir kūnų poreikį tenkinimą? Jeigu didelė šeima, ta prasme.
This big family of whole world, is it only in a spiritual sense or it is also in material sense to gratify the senses?
To gratify the senses?
Well, the needs of the body.
Well, materially we are one family because we are all the descendants of God. Even your material body, you have a father, right? And he has a father, right? Who has a father, isn't it? This is a material principle. If you take you go to that line of fathers, you go all the way to the original father who has no father, that is the Supreme Father. And that Supreme Father is the father of everybody here in this room, spiritually and materially. We are all family members, materially also, not only spiritually. Ultimately, we're all from the same exact family, materially also. It's been so many generations ago, we forgot that. So. We should all have the same last name, really. Krishna Das. Servant of Krishna. Anything else?
But husband and wife, they are very familiar or close. So what would happen if everyone would become so close, like husband and wife?
Well, the Vedic culture restricts husband and wife, they have license for sex enjoyment.
Vedų kultūra yra apribojami, pavyzdžiui, vyras ir žmona, jie turi leidimą užsimti lytiniais santykiais.
That's all right. But it's not that if we all become, that means we have free sex with everyone. No, it doesn't mean that. There is spiritual unity, but at the same time, the sanctity of the individual family unit is maintained in the Vedic culture. In fact, it is more strict in the Vedic culture than it is in our modern culture. In the Vedic culture, a man will never be alone with any woman except for his wife. No other woman will ever be alone with her. So don't be afraid that the whole planet will turn into a big orgy or something like that. We'll have very good standard of morality, but we'll still be like one big family. So now our time has run out for the lecture and the questions and answers. And I wanted to thank each and every one of you who had so many nice questions tonight. I really appreciate that very much. So we'll stop here. And anybody who wants a book, they have the books right up here. You can get a special autograph tonight along with your book if you want it. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.
Vidyaviška malonė šimant sankaršantas adhikāri Maharaj ki jai.